Thank you for joining me on episode 97 of the Unique on a Purpose podcast, helping you find victory in how God has uniquely created you. I am your host, Rachel Gentleman, just a regular gal trying to help people know they are called to be victors in Christ Jesus. Did you know that some of the most successful people that you know have some of the lowest self-esteems? That sounds crazy, right? These people that just seem to have it all together. Well, my next book, Underachiever, Finding Contentment in an Achievement-Obsessed World, comes out May 1st. Yay! And the book is geared towards driven people who feel that no matter how much they accomplish, it's never enough. The goal is to help that driven person know what true success is and to recognize really how successful they probably already are. And today on the podcast, I'm going to talk about some of those reasons why high achievers have low self-esteem. And it has to do with many of the pressures and motives that life can bring. Take a listen. Welcome back to the Unique on Purpose podcast. I'm Rachel Gentleman. And yes, I have shared a little bit that I do have a book out coming May 1st. It is called Underachiever, Finding Contentment in an Achievement-Obsessed World, because for a long time I struggled with, I have not achieved enough. I have not achieved enough. For lack of a better term, I'm a loser because I haven't done enough with my life. And it has caused a lot of problems and has put a wedge between myself and my husband. It has caused me to resent my children. And really, that's not the way that God has designed us to live. And achievement, the desire for achievement does come from the Lord. I truly do believe that. However, there has to be balance. And just like anything that comes from the Lord, we can create that into an idol and instead of putting God above everything else. So what does that have to do with being unique on a purpose? Well, again, God has called us unique on purpose for his purpose. And when we're constantly trying to strive for things that maybe we were never meant to strive for, it will steer us away from the purpose that he has created us for. And one of the topics I want to talk about today that you will find in the book is this idea of the pressures and the motives of why we try to achieve. So just picture this with me. You're standing off stage. There's an audience outside and you are so nervous because you are about ready to make your acting debut. You're adjusting your costume. All you see, all the props are set and ready to go. But yet you have all those knots in your stomach. And when I did theater in high school, we had a saying, take the nerves and turn them into performance. And this idea of wanting to be able to go out and express a story, to express a character, and being nervous, though, and wanting to turn those nerves into a performance, this is good pressure. This is good pressure with pure motives. And there are a lot of things in our life that bring good pressure that help us to have pure motives in how we reach for our achievements. But there are also some things that are not so good. And I kind of want to talk a little bit about those today. But pressure and motives to achieve in specific areas are almost two sides of the same coin. And throughout our lives, we receive pressure from outside sources, such as our family, ethnic traditions, society, church culture, and there's so much more that is bringing pressure upon us. And it can cause us to have impure motives or to go into the opposite direction of God's plan. And of course, there's nothing wrong with wanting to achieve more in life. I have a whole list of achievements that I am striving for. However, if we allow too many voices to take up space in our heads, it can cause us to stress out and go into the wrong direction and seek out accomplishments that really we were never meant to achieve, or seeking out accomplishments for the wrong reasons. So let's get into it. Wrong motives can stem from wanting to prove something to someone, and the pressure to achieve is what is expected of you. And the motive to achieving to prove something to someone, and they can be intertwined. When you and I walk on the stage of life feeling like we are an underachiever, it's painful and it hurts our pride, especially when we have worked so hard to fulfill certain goals and yet we fail multiple times working for those goals. Yeah, I see those hands. I'm raising both of mine. And again, let me reiterate, there is good pressure. The pressure of another baby on the way can motivate us to reach for that promotion so we can have more money to be able to afford to expand our family. surrounded by coworkers who are marathoners can inspire us to get healthy and achieve that 5K that we never thought was possible. So putting that aside, when it comes to positive pressure and motives that inspire us versus what is going outside of God's plan, and that's really more of what I'm talking about. So let's get into family. I have met, again, family can be a great motivator, but I have met a significant amount of adults with huge college debt or who hate their jobs because their family put a lot of pressure on them to achieve a certain goal that really they were never meant to achieve, to reach out for that college degree that really did not fit their personality and did not fit their giftings. There can also be pressure from the family about marriage and children. There are a lot of families out there that either pressure their children to get married quick or to put off marriage as long as possible, really depending on what your society culture looks like. And we'll get into that in a little bit. And hey, let's not forget about sibling rivalry. Did your parents favor your brother over you? The motive can be for you to achieve is you want to make sure you let your parents know that, hey, my brother is not just somebody. I'm someone too, and I have worth, I have value, and I can succeed. And family is a great motivator when it is kept in balance. I know as a parent, I see the gifts and talents that are in my kids that they don't see. So I'm always trying to reassure them and give them that positive affirmation of, wow, you're really gifted in these areas. I'm not going to try and make them succeed in a specific area that I know they're not gifted in. It's all about balance. Also, there's that pressure and the motives that come from tradition and culture. Let me explain. Quite a few years ago, I was on a plane on a missions trip to Bangladesh, and one of my team members and I, we were sitting next to this gentleman who was from India, and we struck up a conversation with this man the best we could between accents and idioms. And what do you normally ask when you meet someone? What do you do for a living? And that's exactly what we asked him. And he said that in his culture, the pressure is significant to either become a doctor or an engineer. And he chose engineer because he thought that was the easiest option. In his culture, in order to have significance, in order to have worth, it means having money and having a prestigious job, such as a doctor or engineer. Here's another example from that same trip. So we are in Bangladesh. I am the only one on the trip. I think I was the oldest one on the trip. I was 29, so I'm married. I have a couple kids. And the youth pastor's wife just turns around, completely random, looks at me and says, "Why are you here?" And I was completely taken back by this. Like, why? I just thought that was the weirdest question. And I finally answered and I said, "Well, I felt as though the Lord had called me to come and spend a week and a half with you." And she says, "In our culture," and mind you, she's a Christian, but she lives in a very Islamic culture. And so even that is, even though she's Christian, Islam really penetrates into their everyday lives. She says, "In our culture, a woman never goes out alone. She never travels alone. If she is not married, then she travels with a brother or a dad. And if she is married, she goes out with a son or her husband, but she is never alone." And that was a complete culture shock to me because here I am from America. The expectations are completely different for women. But again, another example of the pressure of what traditions and certain cultural values can place upon a person. Then there is church culture. Now, I was not raised in the church, so I took a lot of my cues from culture from the world. However, I found that a lot of my friends who grew up in the church were heavily influenced by what is known as church culture. And over the years, many women who I've spoken to, especially in the Bible Belt, and when I say the Bible Belt, I mean that portion of the United States that's heavily saturated in church, and maybe I'm trying to say this politely and with tact, but maybe a little bit more legalistic than places outside of the Bible Belt. But anyway, I talked to a lot of those women and they feel a ton of pressure from their churches to get married and have children young. They're not allowed to have careers and they have to get married and have as many babies as possible, as young as possible. So other pressures can come depending on what church culture you are a part of. In some church cultures, it's looked down upon for church leadership to really share their weaknesses with those that are shepherding. And this can cause the congregation to feel as though perfection is expected. And some church cultures expect a certain amount of service hours without pay while a person is already working 40 hours a week and raising a family, and some of those churches even expect that out of their own pastors. So the list of pressures for specific spiritual achievements can go on and on and on. Okay, here's another one. And this one is definitely one of my favorites to talk about that can really bring some pressure and impure motives if not careful. And that is talking about the working class. And I'm not sure if you have learned much about the different mentalities of the working class, but different pressures between each economical class is a real thing. And there are different categories of economic classes and those ranging in between. But for simplicity's sake, I'm going to share the three main classes that all of us fit into and the pressures that come with each one. So poverty, the middle class, and the elite. So let's start with poverty. Those that live in poverty or have a poverty mentality are normally surrounded by others who are in poverty themselves, and they focus their lives around survival, relationships, and entertainment. The people that they are in relationships are seen more as possessions versus actual individuals and people. And they're all about living for the moment because they're in survival mode and they have less intelligent forms of humor. Those are often sought out. And if an individual in poverty wants to achieve and better themselves, whether it be financial, career-wise, there is a pressure from those in their community not to do so because it's almost seen as a betrayal because they are leaving behind people who they see as a possession. Ben Carson is probably one of the best examples of this. Brain surgeon Ben Carson grew up in the projects. I mean, he is the poster child for a rags to riches story. Growing up in the projects, he, because of really a lot of influence from his mother making him read growing up. Anyway, you need to check out his story. It's beautiful. But he wanted to better himself. He wanted to go to medical school and be a doctor. He would take the public transportation downtown to go to the different art galleries and learn about more elite type of things. And he was put down by the people in his community for wanting to better himself. But it was because they saw him as someone who was betraying their culture, betraying their way of life, instead of really wanting to help him succeed. And that is something that's really difficult for me to understand, especially with my middle class mentality. So here's how the middle class works. Those in the middle class work, hard work is essential. And in their mind, that's exactly what leads to achievement. Money is meant to be managed. Achievement is incredibly valued, and education is needed to climb up the work ladder. And even future or prospective mates are judged by what they have achieved. So the pressure to work harder leads to more achievement, which leads to more money. And because the middle class tends to value hard work more than relationships and social connections, their achievement expectations is gained in their minds by their hard work. So anything that has been handed to them somehow, some way, is really looked down upon. I know this for a fact because I would say I am major middle class mentality. And that is because I grew up in a military law enforcement family. Anything that is given to you without you working for it, it was, in a sense, looked down upon. That was really ingrained in me from my mother. And when I became a Christian, it was so difficult for me to learn how to receive gifts that I didn't work for. It was really difficult for me to receive from the Lord things that I hadn't worked for. Now let's move on to the elites or the wealthy mentality. They tend to make decisions based on financial, social, and political connections, not necessarily about hard work. I'm not saying they're not hard workers. They certainly are hard workers. But again, their decisions are based on financial, social, and political connections. Everything they do revolves around mutual networking. And a lot of their achievements come from mutual networking. So someone in the wealthy class will often introduce another person by their affiliated organization or their family that is in good standing. So for example, this is Harry Donaldson from Lincoln and Lincoln Firm. Or let me introduce you to Melina Parker from Parker Estates. This establishes national, international, financial, and even possible marriage connections that are in good political or social standing. And this can bring pressure to achieve in specific careers and having mates in specific standing. So with those achievements, though, as much as those elite achievements sound amazing, there is that pressure to have a specific lifestyle. So here's an example. I once knew of a doctor's wife who stated that though the money that they had for being a doctor's family was super enjoyable, the pressure to live up to a doctor's standards was exhausting. She felt the pressure that they had to have a specific type of vehicle. They had to have a particular kind of house in a specific neighborhood. They have all these benefits of wealth, but they also have all this pressure that goes into it so they can fit into certain social circles. So moving on from the working class, what else brings pressure and motives for us to achieve maybe in some unhealthy ways? Well, we all know this one is social media, because all of us have fallen into that trap of social media. It says Facebook, Instagram, all the things say that you can make the gourmet cake in your HGTV kitchen, run your own business, spend spring break in the Maldives, all while raising 2.5 kids that are on the honor roll. And there's nothing like social media to really make you feel like an underachiever, to make you feel like a loser, really in the stage of life. Because you're watching others achieve all of this greatness, and they are achieving certain things that maybe you have never even thought of, but now you're thinking, oh, I have to achieve those things too. And then you're left going, yep, I have not achieved enough. Now, don't get me wrong. I love social media and I love being connected to people in this way. And it actually has done wonders for our society, where you have biological children and biological parents meeting up for the very first time. They've been able to find each other because of social media. We've been able to solve 20-year-old cold cases. You can find friends that you lost touch with 10, 20 years ago, and now you're able to connect and catch up. So social media has been great. But let's be honest, without us even realizing it, social media brings social pressure and the motive to prove to the social world that you are essential, that you have achieved great things in life, and that you are worthy to be, really, to be on this planet. And when our little world is exposed to the life of everyone in our inner circle or outer circle and beyond, we become smaller and smaller accomplished actors, really, on the stage of life. And not only does social media place pressure on us to achieve more than what we are called to do, but it's paid to do so. If you have not seen The Social Dilemma on Netflix, I highly encourage you to get it or to watch it. I plan on watching it with my daughter before she goes on social media. Yep, she's 17. She still has not joined social media yet, and I'm totally cool with that. But before she does, I'm making sure that we watch this documentary together. So Tristan Harris, he is a former design ethicist, whatever that means, for Google, and this is what he had to say. Never before in history have 50 designers, 20 to 35-year-old white guys in California, made decisions that would have an impact on 2 billion people. 2 billion people will have thoughts that they didn't intend to have because a designer at Google said, this is how notifications work on the screen that you wake up to in the morning, end quote. So I think it's good for us to recognize that though Facebook and Instagram and X, they've all done some good, there are drawbacks that have affected our thoughts and can cause us to want to achieve things in the wrong direction instead of really focusing on what God has asked us to do. So these are thoughts that have brought division in the Western world that we have never seen before the birth of socials. And research has shown over and over again that there are links between mental health and social media usage. There's even a new body image issue out there that's emerged. I'm not sure if you've heard of it, but it is called Snapchat dysphoria. This is where teens feel the pressure to surgically change their features, I kid you not, to mirror what they see on Snapchat filters. So might be time to limit some of that social media to get rid of all of that pressure. Here's another pressure that we don't often talk about, and that is the pressure in motives that come from childhood trauma. Now, I'm going to butcher this guy's name. He is a former CIA officer and U.S. Air Force combat veteran, Andrew Bustamante. I think that's how you pronounce his name. Well, anyway, he was on the Truth Hurts podcast with Brian Gold, and he was talking about a CIA recruiting tactic, and that is they recruit people with childhood trauma. They call it the secret sauce because they noticed that there is a tie between high performance and childhood trauma. Childhood trauma causes a chemical change in the brain that leads to addiction approval. This is what he said, quote, "If you don't have childhood trauma, you don't have that chemical addiction. If your parents love you and everyone is there for you and life is easy, you actually feel like, hey, I don't need to prove myself. I don't need to make anyone happy. But when you don't have that, when dad doesn't pay attention to you because he's addicted to work, that becomes a predictable, trainable element within your psyche," end quote. So those that are high achievers, but yet they have this low self-esteem about them, they feel like they're underachievers, they're not achieving enough. Childhood trauma can be a part of why they feel what they feel. So let's talk about that a little bit. Childhood trauma, it can take many forms. It could be a parent that passed away at an early age, or watching one parent abuse another, sexual assault, a severe illness, or extreme poverty. There are different elements that can contribute to that. Now, childhood trauma doesn't, of course, always result in high achievement. Sometimes it pushes people the opposite direction in drug and alcohol addiction. But if they're not into drug, alcohol addiction, or depression or anxiety, they will go the other way and they will go for approval addiction, achievement addiction. So for those who take their childhood trauma and they turn it towards resilience and achievement, that drive, that motivation is often to make up for what they lacked in childhood. So if there was a lack of social standing and bullying from a kid at school, that desire may be to seek out achievement to gain affirmation from those in high school circles as an adult. If the child had experienced extreme poverty, the pressure and motive might be to make sure as an adult, my family lacks nothing. Even if it means working extra hours and not even being around my family, I'm going to make sure. And though these individuals seem as though they have it all together, like I said before, they have some of the lowest self-esteems. Many of them are insecure. They suffer from imposter syndrome and they have high functioning anxiety. If you don't know what high functioning anxiety is, it's when you are living in anxiety, but instead of it really debilitating you, it is feeding everything that you do, feeding your achievements. I highly recommend looking that up. I had no idea that I was suffering from high achievement anxiety. I always looked at anxiety and just went, oh my gosh, why are so many people suffering? This is so dumb. Like, and then when I researched it, I went, oh my gosh, I do have anxiety. It's just high functioning anxiety, having no idea. But anyway, that's a rabbit trail. Okay, so what is the solution if we are suffering from a lot of the pressures and the motives and of trying to achieve and it's completely unbalanced and it's not really the direction that God is asking us to do? Here are a few solutions for you. Number one, cut back on the social media. Limit your time on the social media. That has caused a lot of people to go in a direction that they were never supposed to go in with their achievements, or just to constantly feel like they're a loser in life. So just limit your time, or maybe go on, check your notifications, post what you need to post, and then get off of it. Your brain was never meant to absorb everybody's stuff all in just 20 minutes of scrolling. Just wasn't meant to do that. So limit your time on social media. Number two, get help. Get therapy. There is nothing wrong with therapy. And those of us that feel like underachievers in life, we feel as though we don't warrant, we don't have enough pain in our lives to go to therapy. And really, we just need to suck it up and go. Even if we feel stupid, we need to do it. Seeing a therapist will help unravel and organize thoughts that are really outside voices that shouldn't be there and will help you organize God thoughts more. Therapy is also needed if you have that childhood trauma. It will help you pinpoint where the wounds are, where they have festered for a really long time, and how you can get healing from all of that. And then the last one, find your purpose. Now, if you want to discover more on how to find your purpose, you'll definitely have to get my book, Underachiever, that comes out in May. But we will definitely cover that, because you were created unique on purpose for God's purpose. And when you know the purpose of why you were created, it will help you stay on the path that God has called you to, instead of kind of going off the trail and trying to achieve things that you were never meant to achieve. So let's recap a little bit. If you are out there and you say, I am super driven, but yet I have a low self-esteem, and everybody around me thinks that I just have it all together, that I'm doing great things, but you know the secret of what's inside. Part of what can be your issue is that you are motivated by the different pressures that are going on around you. So recapping, what is it that you need to do? First of all, limit your social media. That's going to be one of the best things for you. Number two, get help, get the therapy that you need. And then number three, learn more about you specifically and how God has uniquely created you. And through that, you will be able to find your purpose. Again, this is all going to be in my book, Underachiever, launching May 1st. I'm really excited for you to read it. If you are a highly driven person and you just feel as though nothing you do is enough, you're constantly feeling like a loser, and you're never going to be able to make a dent in this life, please, please, please check it out. It will be on Amazon, amazon.com. You can also subscribe on my website to get updates, rachelgeneman.com. Thank you once again for listening to today's episode of the Unique on a Purpose podcast. Underachiever, Finding Contentment in an Achievement-Obsessed World comes out May 1st. You can find it on Amazon as well as my website, rachelgeneman.com. And if you are interested in me sharing at your church, conference, retreat, or camp, please also visit me at rachelgeneman.com. Unique on Purpose is available on iTunes as well as Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcast. Don't forget to share, download, and subscribe. And remember, you were created unique on purpose. You are loved. And because of Christ, you have been made worthy. I'll see you right back here next time.